Torah. We want to thank you for being a part of this service. We trust that the Lord will minister to your needs as you sit here, as you sing, as you take in all that the Lord has in store for you. We have several announcements this morning. If you were here right before the service and enjoyed some coffee, you'll notice that there were these things called Youth Yummies, and that's something we're going to try like once a month. Maybe it'll become more regular, and hopefully you were able to enjoy one of those delicious desserts to enjoy with your coffee. So thank you for participating in that and helping out the youth to be able to go to their events and conferences that are upcoming. We do just want to remind you, there's a birthday box in the narthex for Randy Keeney. Today's the last day. If you want to put a birthday card in there for Randy Keeney, we'd appreciate you doing that as well. And the flowers on the altar this morning are in memory of Tom and Harold Wise. So thank you for those beautiful flowers that are on the altar. Tomorrow is a very, very important meeting. It is the every member council meeting. It's from 7:30 until it ends. There's some important votes that we need to vote on, including air conditioning. No, just kidding. Just making sure you're awake. There'll be financial reports, ministry team reports. So be sure to come out tomorrow night at 7:30 for our every member council meeting. And you don't need to be a member to attend that, just a member to vote if there's any voting that will be done. The extended session, which is taking place right now, back that hallway, needs some volunteers. So if you love children like I love children and want to volunteer in some capacity, we would be thrilled to have you volunteer to help. There's two adults needed every Sunday to take care of those darling 2 to 5 year olds. So see Bonnie Bainey if you're interested in volunteering and helping out the extended session. I'll invite Pam up in the meantime. She has two announcements for us, and there's a few others that we'll make note of.
I just want to make everyone aware that Kobe's banquet is coming up on March 5th. There is information out in the narthex on Kobe's banquet. It's a fundraiser where we learn about the mission of Kobe's program. This year they are doing the banquet at 6:30 p.m., but if you say, hey, I'm not able to be there for the banquet, but I really like to be there for the program, they're also having what they're calling heavy hors d'oeuvres, which probably is a meal in and of itself, that starts at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary so that people can be videotaped, watch the video conferencing of it, so that you can be a part of it just like everyone else. So I invite you to think about attending that. There is the information back there on the table if you want an invite. The other thing that I want to raise up is on the bulletin board back there, I noticed this morning that Laura Reinholds from Hanoverdale Church of the Brethren is sponsoring an arts and crafts fair at Lebanon Valley Brethren Home in 2 weeks, on February 21st, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. to raise money for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. And on that, it invites people that are interested in displaying their crafts and selling their crafts to help with raising money to contact her if you'd like to do that, or just come out and support by purchasing some of the crafts so that the money can go to help our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Thanks.
Thank you. We want to highlight tonight, junior and senior high, there is a Kobe's Gym Night at Midway Church of the Brethren. We're carpooling from here. It's 5:30 to 8:30 tonight. So come on out, youth and junior, senior high, to enjoy that time. There's still a need for a chairman for the Car, Truck, and Tractor Show. We know that's an annual event that takes place here outside in our parking lot, and we just love seeing the cars and the trucks and the tractors come, but we do need someone to chair that. That's on May 30th, so see Richard France if you're able to do that as well. And the children's moment, I love doing the children's moment, but I want to plug other individuals that like to teach children into that as well. So this morning we have a special guest, Judy, doing the children's moment. Invite you as well if you're interested in doing the children's moment to share during that special time for our children. And looks like that is all the announcements we have this morning. Let's join together in a word of prayer. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, Jesus loves you. Indeed, he does. Please know that this morning as we gather here, that Jesus loves us, and he loves us more than we can begin to fathom or imagine. Let's turn to him in prayer. Father God, just thank you for this opportunity to gather here, to be able to sing praise to your most holy name. Father, we know that there is a world that is hurting, a world that is dying, that needs your hope. And we're praying as brothers and sisters in the Lord that we would be used of you to go forth and carry that good news. But Father, we pray now as we gather here at Little Sotara, you would minister to our souls. You would open our hearts, open our minds to receive everything that your Spirit would have for us. And Father, we just place ourselves and surrender ourselves to you, asking you to piece us back together, those broken things that have fallen out of our lives that we so desperately are trying to put back together. And Lord, we turn to you and we worship you and we give you honor and glory that's due to your name. And it's in his name the Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please rise this morning, number 48, all creatures of our God and King.
Thank you.
I was told that a turkey vulture was spotted, which is an indication spring is on its way. So the robins will be next, but the turkey vultures are here. So be encouraged. This winter will end. We come to that time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. You can see in your bulletin the list of those that have happened throughout the week and have been ongoing. And we know that we have a God that is near to us, a God that cares for us very deeply and loves us oh so much. So might we turn to him during this time and lift up our joys and concerns. A microphone will be passed away. If you have one to share, just simply raise your hand.
Lord Jesus,
well, since Julia's not sure what she wanted to say, just good news, the robins are in Lititz, they're on their way.
Yes, they'll be here before we know it.
Remember Ursula Williams, she broke her wrist and is recuperating at home.
I never know quite whether to put this under announcements or concerns. The result of Curtis's hearing is a continuance, which means no decision was made on Friday. His lawyer is entering negotiations. I really thank this congregation for the cards. I've had a lot of people say they sent him a card. And I'm sure that it relieved some of his anxiety because his lawyer was only able to meet with him for the very first time on Thursday. So all this time, Curtis has not known what was going to happen or what was going to go forth on Friday. So I don't know the next date yet. So continue to keep him in your prayers. Lift up his spirits with cards. If you forgot his address or you want me to forward the mail, you can leave it in his mailbox or my mailbox here at church. It does not need a stamp on. I can mail it. If you put a stamp on it, fine. If not, I will put one on it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. There's always something about receiving a card that just always touches your heart. And many among you are very good at sending cards, and we thank you for that. And if you've ever received one, we know the feeling that that brings into our lives. Yes?
Just remember to keep my granddaughter, Samantha, in your prayer. She's still in the hospital.
I'd like to request prayer for our neighbor, Rick Bayshore. He is not doing too well after his cancer operation. So please continue prayer for him.
My family, just Barbara, and I just want to say thank you to everybody for their cards and their prayers for my brother-in-law, Art Reinhardt. He's still up in Hershey Med in room 4110. He sustained a very serious head injury last Monday in a fall. He finally turned the corner on Friday, so he is improving, but he's still got a long way to go. So please keep him in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you with our request this morning, asking you to meet us in our individual circumstances. Father, you know the pain our friends are going through, the hurts and the sorrows that our friends are going through. And we think of Samantha and Ursula. We think of Art, and we think of the healing touch that we're asking you to place upon them as they encounter various circumstances in their lives. And Lord, we're just praying in Jesus' name that you would just bring your power upon them, that you would allow your love to flow through them, that they would be able to know that your touch is upon their lives. We pray for continued encouragement as Curtis enters into a time of negotiation with his attorney and ask that your will would be accomplished, Lord. That you would just be alongside Curtis, let him know that we're thinking of him, that we care for him, and you, most of all, care for him very deeply. And so just encourage him, strengthen Burrow and Ralph as well, and just be near to them, Lord. And we just look at our list of prayer concerns. There's so many, Lord, many in rehab, many recovering, those that are in need of comfort from the loss of loved ones. And we're just praying, Father, that you would just encompass their lives, that you would surround them, and just let them know, Lord God, that you are bringing them peace and you are bringing them understanding in their various ordeals they find themselves in. And we're just turning to you, Lord, this morning and asking you to continue to guide the doctors and continue to guide those that are ministering to our friends and our family members. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are a God we can turn to in prayer and know that you hear our prayers. And we pray, Lord, as we look back upon this week, those things that we've done that weren't pleasing to you, and we just confess them to you during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we do thank you for forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the ultimate lengths on the cross and paid the price for our sins. And there's no way we could ever pay you back for that, Lord, but we want to live a life that's holy and pleasing to you. And so, Father, thank you for forgiving us and help us to turn away from those things that plague us, that keep us from following you. And Lord, we just commit the rest of this service to you as we continue to worship, as we continue to think on our lives, and help us, Lord, to be a reflection of you to others. And may our love just flow. And we're just thanking you so much for all the joy that you bring us to our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise for number 66, O Worship the King. For our offertory thought this morning, we'll read from Psalm 24:1. It reads, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And so may that be just a reminder this morning that all that we have, all that we have been blessed with, comes from the Lord. May we be giving with joyful hearts this morning. Father, just thank you for the opportunity to give, to be able to receive your blessings as we give with joyful hearts. For we know blessings abound in our lives, and we turn this morning and just return thanks to you for the many things that you provide. And we're asking you, Lord Jesus, as we give this offering, that you would bless it and multiply it, Lord, to be able to further your kingdom. Bless the giver, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Kids today, come on up. Hey, Graham. Here comes the kids. Oh boy. Hey, while we're waiting and joining, do you know, did anybody ever hear that song? Isn't that Bob and Larry from VeggieTales? Are those guys copying it? I listen to that song all the time, huh, Graham? I knew you'd know that.
That's Bob and Larry.
Bob and Larry sing that song. Where'd those guys come from? Anyway, thanks for Pastor Matt for sharing that. Okay, this looks like a pretty smart group. Does anybody know what month this is?
February.
Yay! you're right. And you know what happens in what happens in February? Is there a special day we celebrate?
Yes, it's Valentine's Day.
And what does Valentine's Day mean? What do we celebrate?
Jesus' birthday.
No, that's December. But you're close. What's the one word that means Valentine's Day?
Love.
Love. Yeah, don't you love love? Isn't it great? Who doesn't love love? Who couldn't be happy with love? Love just brings a smile to your face.
I do.
Well, thanks, Graham. When I was a little girl and we went to school, we always made shoeboxes for Valentine's for our friends to show us how much they love us. So as I'm older now, I made a bigger box and I'm looking for a lot of Valentines. But you know what? Hey. But you know what? When your mom and dad want to get a point across to you, what do they keep doing? Do they keep telling you something?
Yeah.
Like, this week Graham was sick, so we keep saying, cover your mouth when you sneeze. Cover your mouth. What does your mom or dad say to you that they want you to do something? Do they tell you maybe don't run in front of a car? Yeah? Well, do you know what? I think God and Jesus wanted to know, let us know something about love, because do you know how many times the Bible talks about love or says the word love?
You.
Take a guess. Sit down. How many times do you think the Bible says love?
Love.
10 times?
Uh-huh.
100 times?
No. 1 time.
551 times in the version that I read. Woo! That's a lot of love.
What do we already?
So today, I wanted to share something with you. Now, Graham, you want to help pass these out?
Yes.
Make sure everybody gets one. Okay? Okay, make sure everybody gets one. Because I'm giving a little love to you. It's a Valentine from me to you. Happy Valentine's Day.
You might want the orange one.
Graham, pass them out. Okay? Make sure everybody gets one.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll make sure.
I see a girl over here with that one. There you go. Do you have a Valentine? There you go. Everybody have one? Oh, no. Here you go. Okay, everybody have one? No? Okay.
What about me?
Oh, here you go. Okay.
No, I want the orange one.
So do you know what? You have one? You don't have one? Oh, my goodness. There you go. Now, this is from me to you. Did you ever hear of regifting? That means when you get a gift and you might like it, but somebody might like it better. Sit down. It's called regifting. Well, you could re-love this. You could give this to somebody else if you want, but if not, you can keep it. But with this Valentine, I'm giving you a second one. This Valentine, I want you to do something special with it. I want you to think of somebody who needs the love of God. It could be the lady at your grocery store. It could be somebody sitting here in church that maybe you don't know so well, but you'd like to know them better, who might just need the love of Jesus. So I want you to give this Valentine's. You have a whole week to think about it, because Valentine's isn't till next Saturday. So you think about it. You already know who?
My grandma.
Well, your grandma, you could re-love that one. I want you to give your second Valentine to somebody who you don't know so well, okay? It's a tough job, but think about somebody. You may be grocery shopping, and you may just go, that checker needs a smile, and you just give them your Valentine, okay? All right, let's say a quick prayer. Everybody get two? Did you get two? You need a Valentine to share. You got two? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Jesus, please come to us this week and show us somebody who needs your extra special love that we can help get to them. Help us be good and listen to your rules and have a great week. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Graham, did you get a second one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Have a good week, guys. Thanks for coming up. Thank you.
God is big. God is huge. But just how big is God? I'd invite you this morning, in front of you, you should find a Bible and turn with me to the very beginning, Genesis 1:1, and we'll see just how big this God truly is. In Genesis 1:1, if you would read with me, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." And we'll stop there. Tell me this morning, how big is our God? Really big. He's huge. He's beyond our comprehension. The very fact, in the very beginning of the Bible, it tells us he existed before anything else. Everyone take their hands, make a little fist like this, put it to your head, go bam, mind blown. Can you even begin to fathom the fact that God existed before any of this? God always was. God always will be. He's eternal. He's forever. He'll never go away. God has been with us from the very beginning. So if you ask a child, how big is God? The Sunday school teacher may answer, he's big beyond your imagination. And so the child will go on to say, well, is he bigger than my house? And the Sunday school teacher will go, yeah, he's bigger than your house. Is he bigger than a tree? Yeah, he's bigger than a tree. Is he bigger than the tallest skyscraper? And the teacher will be like, yeah, he's even bigger than the tallest skyscraper. And the child, with his eyes big, just looks at the teacher and is like, he really is big. And we can all reflect on that very moment in our lives when we began to realize God is bigger than we can begin to imagine. But I want to ask you this question. Is God big enough to handle everything life throws at you? On the screen, you see a beautiful jewelry box. That jewelry box has a very special function. It allows us to put items in it and to lock it that we cannot retrieve it. Now, many times I've locked things in a lockbox and lost the key. No, seriously, it happened once, yeah. Wasn't good. But when we talk in terms of God and the compartments and the boxes that we put areas of our lives into and throw away the key on purpose, God says to us, I give you free will. I say to you, you can allow that box to remain locked. And when you're ready to open it, don't worry, I have the key. But when we look in that box, what are some of the things that we find? Oftentimes we think we can hide areas of our lives from God. May I add this piece of advice? No. No, you can't. For God knows every thing about us. And because he knows everything about us, immediately we start to fear. We start to be terrified. And that box that we have so well locked up, God is like, open it to me and I will allow you to be free. Sometimes it's our marriages. Sometimes we think, you know, as men, we communicate well. But Valentine's Day is coming up quite soon. And I'm sure if I ask all the men with husbands in this room, how many have their Valentine's gift bought already? How many already booked the hotel? How many already have tickets to Maui? I'm sure all of you will raise your hand, and the wives are getting excited. They're thinking Pastor Matt's paying for their husbands to take their wives to Maui. My wife got excited first service. But the reality is communication breaks down. Everyone say that with me this morning. Breaks down. Now, we're not going to start hip-hop dancing or anything like that. We're not going to break it down like that. But communication sometimes can become a barrier. We do very well communicating with our best friends, but our wives, if we look at them, are supposed to be our best friends. On the inside of my ring, I've never shared this with anyone. You're the first church I've ever shared this with. On the inside of my ring, are you ready for this? It says best friends and lovers. I had to be quiet about that because there's some single guys out here. But we're best friends and lovers. You would think if you have that capacity in your marriage, you would be open about everything. Now, I'm sure there's a few guys sitting in here this morning that are like, you know, there is this one time when I kind of did this that I really didn't tell my wife about. Guys, let me share this with you. There's never anything we can keep from our wives. They'll find out eventually. They have ways. But with God, we try to hide certain aspects of our lives. We try to say, you know what? He doesn't know that I do this. Because we think it's private. We think it's behind closed doors. But might I welcome you into full exposure? Adam and Eve thought they could eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they decided because of what they did, they realized something. And so they hid. And God, I can almost picture him playing along with these two young ones. And he said, where are you? And Adam kind of yells out, I'm hidden. I'm hiding from you, God. And God's probably just like, yeah, you can hide from me, Adam, sure. Let's play hide and seek, see who wins. But the reality is, because they recognized that they were naked, I was waiting for the giggles there from the teenagers, they became ashamed. And so what we sometimes do in hiding, in our private locations, we put away in our box, thinking that God's not going to know about it, that we won't be exposed, no pun intended. But we realize God already knows everything about us. He's bigger than our imagination. So imagine how much more free or freer we could be if we just allowed God inside those boxes that we try to hide so well. Sometimes we go through life and we think that we can get away with stuff. And sometimes it brings us temporary joy. For example, that freeway that we all are very much familiar with, that we can make our speedometer go to 3 digits. And it brings us joy for a few brief moments because speed is cool. But on the other hand, we do recognize that there's speed limits in place for a very good reason. I've had too many friends die because they thought speed was cool. And they went too fast and ended up in accidents and ended up meeting Jesus face to face. At least I pray so. So in our boxes, we need to be willing to say, God, I know I make mistakes. God, I know I'm not perfect. And he's like, yeah, I know that too. So here are those things that I'm trying to work on. And we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to feel guilt. God invites us into that relationship. He's big enough to create all that's around us. He says, let there be, and there was. But he's also small, if you will, enough to have a relationship with us. So a relationship involves two-way communication. As husbands and wives, as people dating, it's important for us to be able to communicate. In marriage counseling, the number one thing is being able to communicate on all levels. And one of the most difficult things I find that married couples are most difficult in discussing is finances. And so I encourage you, if you're thinking about marriage or in a relationship now, think about finances for a little while. Who's going to write the checks? Who's going to pay the bills? And I'd encourage you to do that together, because there's never a better way to start, even now, if you've been married for a long time, than to do finances together. Because there's just something about opening a checkbook and realizing all that makeup that sits on the counter that my wife has, all those hair products, came out of the checking account. Where did I think she got them? For free? Of course not. So there was an open discussion there about, why do we need all these things on our counter to make yourself look beautiful? You look beautiful without that stuff. And so she explained it to me, and I still don't get it, but it's all good. It makes her feel better, apparently. I don't get it. I'm a guy. All right. So what we call this term as we keep the jewelry box locked is, some people call it compartmentalizing. I'll call it boxizing. We boxize God. So I challenge you this week, where are you putting God in a box? You know, maybe there's something in your life that is really challenging, and you have a me box, a box that's just, this is, I'm going to handle this. This is for me. And maybe it's in your career. Maybe it's in your academics. And so what you do is allow that box to remain locked, but God is giving you potential. He's saying, if you open that box, I can take you higher and higher. And I don't think any of us sit here and say, you know, I want to remain where I'm at. You know, I'm complacent. I like this. It's kind of cool to be in a place where I'm not going anywhere. I think we all desire to go higher and higher. And this morning, we're going to talk about that. We're going to open our Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and we're going to start in verse 21. And I really enjoy hearing you all in unison saying the scriptures with me. So I'm going to invite you to do that with me this morning. We're going to start in Isaiah 40, 21, and we're going to end in 24. I think there's something extremely powerful in the spoken word of God. So as we speak, may we also listen. I know we're all multitaskers. We can do more than one thing. I see people chewing gum and paying attention to me at the same time. So you can multitask. You can chew gum, pay attention to me, read the scripture, and hear what the scripture is saying. That's four things. Let's do this. Okay. Verses 21 to 24, all together. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Now, many of us remember as children what our parents would say to us. Don't you know if you touch the hot stove, you're going to get burnt? Or to children who like to stay out past their curfew. Didn't you know if you stayed out past your curfew, you would lose driving privileges this week? And so the list goes on and on of didn't you knows. And this verse is reminding us of just how big this God is we serve. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. How many of you have ever been in an airplane? Or you've ever been on a mountaintop and you've looked below you? Especially in an airplane, it amazes me. You're flying over top of this mega city and the buildings look like little Monopoly houses. It is the same with God, but yet God knows us on a personal level. So even though we may appear like grasshoppers to God, this is just imagery. It's figurative speech, if you will. God is personal. God does desire to walk through this life alongside you. But we need to be willing to let him. Our God is only as big as we make him. Our God is only as big as we make him. So if you think there's areas in your life that you can handle, you serve a somewhat small God. But if you think all areas of your life belong to God, that he created you in his image, he walks beside you, he takes you through the valley of the shadow of death, you serve a gigantic God, a God that isn't made of material things, isn't made of stuff, but a God that is eternal, a God that exists beyond our comprehension. And so it's that God this morning that we are reminded of his magnificence, of his splendor, of his willingness to forgive us. And out of those 551 times the word love appears, the greatest of those words with love appearing is in John 3:16, a familiar verse to all of us. And if that verse didn't exist, if there wasn't a God that so loved us that he'd send his son to die for us, this God that we serve really wouldn't be as big of a God as we thought. He would be as minuscule as that cow across the road or that fat man called Buddha. For we know that they too have no power to raise from the dead. But we know that God in his power raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that we, if we believe in him, would have eternal life. And I pray this morning each one of us knows the power in the resurrection, the difference that it makes for our lives. So there's a guy, and the town's about to be flooded. And the city officials are saying, evacuate, evacuate. And this guy was of faith, and he said, I'll be okay. God's going to take care of me. And the waters are beginning to rise almost to the doorsteps, and the fire truck comes near. And the man in the fire truck says, get in. We can still get out in time. And the man says, no, my God will save me. I'm going to be okay. And so he continues to remain in his house. The water continues to rise. Suddenly, he finds himself on his countertops. And a boat drives by his house and says to him, get in the boat. You're going to drown. And the man says, no, no, my God will save me. I won't perish. He'll save me from this pending doom. And so the boat continues on. The waters continue to rise. He finds himself on his rooftop. The water is now up to his neck. He realizes in his greatest despair, this could be it. And a helicopter flies above, lowers its ladder. And the guy yells down, grab a hold of the ladder. And the guy looks up to the helicopter and says, I'm going to be okay. My God will save me. And as the story ends, the water rushes above his head and it takes his very life. And the man questions God, why? Why didn't you save me? And God replies, I've sent you a fire truck and you refused. I've sent you a boat and you sent it away. I sent you a helicopter and you too let it pass. Friends, my reminder is this. We conceive an answer to our prayers in our minds. And we become so entirely focused on that issue that it'll be solved in the way that we've conceived it, that we miss other opportunities that God is offering us help. I can't tell you how many times we've looked at our checkbook and wondered, where are we going to get enough food for our family? Where are we going to find gas for in our cars? And we'll cry out to God, and lo and behold, someone stops by with vegetables or someone stops by with a roast. And we're reminded God does provide. If you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering, how can I ever escape my past? How can I ever forgive my brother or sister? How can I ever be released from the pain and the turmoil that I feel? Know that God has a rescue plan. Know that He is big enough to meet you in your need, and He will provide. Let's continue in our verses, and let's go to the end, to verse 31, 25 to 31, together. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. I used to think the only way I could get energy was through coffee. I used to think the only way I could get energy was through a Powerade or a Gatorade or a Monster energy drink. But then I realized God wants to give me power if only I submit and surrender to Him, allowing Him to do His will. Many of us sit here this morning powerless because we haven't given in to God. We've decided those boxes are more important for me to handle. Those boxes aren't something God really cares about. But brothers and sisters, hear me. He wants you to unlock the boxes and let Him access. May it be your past that needs forgiven. He forgives it. May it be the loss of a loved one. He brings you comfort. But what the enemy wants more and more to do is to keep you complacent, to keep you in that place, because he knows as long as you're not moving, as long as you're not going higher, higher, you are deemed ineffective. And as Christians, one of the last things we want to be is ineffective. Because when we're ineffective, there are lost people in the world that don't find the hope that they need. There are brothers and sisters in our very own families that need a word, and we're not offering them because we're stuck because of that box that we don't want to open. So I'm asking you this morning, right before Valentine's Day, the greatest week of love that we could ever imagine, allow the love of your Heavenly Father, a God that is so big that He says, I want a relationship with you. I want to be a part of everything you go through. Allow Him access. Unlock the box. Say, God, I'm naked before you, and I'm unashamed because I know you will meet me where I am. So this morning, be encouraged. Be strengthened. Know that our everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, will renew your strength. I want you to think about an eagle for a moment. When an eagle builds a nest, he starts with broken limbs. She starts with rocks, and she starts with thorns and thistles. And then she takes the wool and the fur of the animal she's killed, and she makes it soft on the inside for those eggs. But one thing, as those eagles begin to grow, those young ones need to leave the nest. But because of its comfort, because it receives its food and it receives its nourishment, it doesn't want to leave. So do you know what that mother eagle does? It takes its strong talons and begins to rip apart the nest. Now remember, as that nest is ripped apart, there are thorns. There's broken branches. There's stones. And you know, even to an eagle, they're going to hurt. They're going to cause discomfort. And that eagle is going to take flight and live on its own. And it's going to mature. And the Lord God is saying to us this morning, in our discomfort, in our pain, in our struggles, in those times where we think we can deal with life on our own, I'm going to renew it for you. I'm going to give you strength. But you're going to need a little nudge to mature. You're going to need a little nudge to go higher and higher. And so He makes life a bit uncomfortable for us. But as we're uncomfortable, one thing remains. We know that we can't do it on our own any longer. And so in that discomfort, in those trials, those struggles, we begin to see God in a new light. We begin to see God as one who cares, as one who longs to be with us through that pain and suffering. So this morning, whatever it is that you're holding on to, whatever struggles you find yourselves amidst, know that there is a God that, though you may feel uncomfortable, longs to bring you peace, longs to show His love to you and through you to others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that when we wait upon You, You'll renew our strength, that we'll mount up with wings as eagles. What magnificent creatures to think of as we take flight, as we soar as Christians, knowing that You guide us, that You take us on the path that You choose for us. Father, we do thank You that we are strengthened. We do thank You that we are given hope, and that we can turn to You in our darkest hour, in our time of need, and know that You are with us. Father, just thank You for giving us the reminder of how incredibly big and awesome and powerful you are. Please don't let us box you in. Don't let us lock the box and take away the key. Let us open those boxes and let you in to restore, to renew, to reinvigorate our lives. For we belong to you, Lord. We're bought at a dear price. Your son Jesus paid that price. And we turn to him and we ask that his love would pour upon us and your Holy Spirit will begin to work in our lives. To whom we give all glory and honor, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise for our final hymn. Our strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. May you find renewed strength, renewed energy. May you find provision through a God that is bigger than we can ever conceive, that we can ever imagine. May he go with you in peace, and may you share his love with others. Amen.